Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Let's just pray and jump into this. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing on planet Earth in Eva, Alabama, and beyond, Father. And a shout out to those that are watching up north, those that are watching in Guatemala, those that are watching in Florida. We want to say thank you for your faithfulness, God, that you're going to take the gospel into all four corners of the world, Father. And Lord, we just pray over it. We bless it right now. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. And then also we have life groups coming up. Everybody say yay for that. Yeah, that's going to be an awesome thing as we grow. Before I get into the message, we did finish up our series. Thank you, Jesus. On marriage and the kingdom marriage. And I enjoyed it. I don't know if you had a good time. But in the, I think it was the third week. Yeah, yay for that. All right. I think it was the third week when I taught on biblical parenting. I have to go back and correct a mistake I made. I have to recant something. And I don't often do that, but I have to do it because I want to make sure you got the whole truth of it, okay? And that was the part where I had, and my daughter come told me about it afterwards. She came into my office and she said, way to throw me under the bus, Dad. It's when I was talking about my second daughter, Kylie. There's some people that, you know, if you want to have kids, you raise them. Don't mean everybody can need kids, because if you don't like kids, and I talked about her, how she's not really, I wouldn't put her over children's ministry, and all they've ever given us is two grand dogs. And so I have to recant that, because she come to me and said, Dad, I'm pregnant, and we're having a baby. Yeah! So she will have a child. It will be blessed. It's blessed now in the womb, and they'll be great parents, and I still wouldn't put her over children's ministry. Just your child, we'll let you have that one. But anyway, we're excited about that. So yeah, I just thought I had to come back and correct that, because I didn't want you thinking that, because they are bearing with child. Amen. At least child, perhaps children, maybe, we don't know. One, two, okay. All right, just checking. But anyway, all right. I want to tell you a word this morning and see what comes to your mind. Breaking point. Anybody ever reach a breaking point in your life?
Yes.
Come on out. Now, when we think of that word, we think it in the connotation of something that's frustrated us long enough or gotten on our nerves long enough, or one of the sayings we have, okay, that's the last straw. And we usually, at that breaking point, we snap. And we usually end up doing something out of anger and that frustration or that disappointment. And it usually is not, sometimes the best choice we can make under that situation. Because we just, we bloat it, you know, and we blow a cog and we just unleash a, if not physical, we unleash a battery of words and just, yeah. And that's not good all the time. It could be good every once in a while, but most of the time, be honest with you, we do something really stupid in that time. But the point is, something got so bad in your life, or at least in your opinion, that something had to change. And you had to finally release something. And I want to get us to a good breaking point this morning. Now, in the church, we call it breakthrough. But I think, really, that to get to the point to where you've got something that's either going to breaking point, where you can break through or break out in something, the key word here is something has to break. You don't have breakthrough or break out or break in or anything without the word break. And oftentimes, we're guilty of wanting this breaking point, this breakthrough, this breakout, but we don't want nothing to break, especially in, to, or through us. We want to break things around us, But we in ourselves don't want to go through the breaking. Amen? Amen? So let's go ahead and put up the first note this morning. You have to hit a breaking point to have your breakthrough. You got to hit that point where something's got to break. I've put up with this long enough. I can't stand this any longer. And instead of it being the situations like the world gets us where we lose our mind and we do something stupid, how about I let it be a spiritual urging for something to break loose that puts us in a good decision making to break something off to where we can break through to the next level of God? And that's the breaking point I think Christians are missing in our lives. We've got too many worldly breaking points to where we act a fool sometimes. And we need more breaking points where we act in the wisdom of God. Anybody in here need a breakthrough in any area of your life this morning? I think we all do. And I think we all could probably have more than one. And oftentimes we go to prayer with God. God, I need you to, and you can just fill in the blank. Amen? And here's the good news. When you go to that list with God, where your struggles are at or what you would like to see more of in your life and you're just struggling with it and you're maybe you failed in it and you're trying to get back up, God, I need you to, whatever. And here's the good news. He's able. Yeah, amen. He's able to grant your prayer. Say amen to that. Amen. He can and he's able. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, that's good news right there. Amen. He's able to bring down the walls. He's able to part your sea. Come on now. He's able to cast out demons. Amen. Especially your neighbor. Amen. He's able to move mountains. He's able to break the chains. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's able. He's able. He's more than able. But what we've got to realize is in those times before we get there, he's able before we ever got there. He's never not able. As a matter of fact, God is always doing signs, wonders, and miracles. He has never stopped doing, listen to me again, he's never stopped doing signs, wonders, and miracles, ever. Never stopped it. He's doing some today. He's doing some right now. He did some earlier this morning in people's lives. He's doing some right now. And you may be sitting there going, well, I don't ever get or see one. It's because you're too wrapped up in the other breakouts. See, you're too busy and you're breaking up and you're blowing up to realize that you need to break something here to experience what other people get. We're going to go somewhere with this today. Amen? Now, again, I want you to think about this. Do you know God is never not doing anything? He's not up there kicked back with his feet up, just kind of chilled. He's always doing something, amen? And he's never, everybody say never. He is never doing anything bad in your life. He's never done anything. Now let me say something God's never done. God's never done anything bad, and God has never done anything ordinary. Everything he does is supernatural, extraordinary, above and beyond anything we can think or imagine. And again, you're thinking, wow, where's this God at? He's all around if you'll just shut up long enough and pay attention. Did that come out? I said that out loud, didn't I? Okay, just checking. It's probably because I meant it out loud. Amen? Well, what's the matter? Where's my breakthroughs? And I don't want to be too much of a Debbie Downer today, but I got to tell you the truth about the matter about breakthroughs and breakouts and all that good stuff. Most of the time, it is us that's stopping our breakthroughs. Because if God's always willing and he can, and now a while ago, it's yay. Now that I talk, it could be your fault. Nay. He's able, yes. What about you? Well, I'm waiting on him. Well, he's busy doing things. He's waiting on you to get unbusy and be about the Father's business. Yes. Amen. Are y'all okay? Amen. Now the world, everybody say the world. The world expects us as Christians to celebrate and praise and honor God in the good times and when we're getting those breakthroughs. And the world even kind of likes to hear about them sometimes, even if they don't believe in them. They still love to hear your miracles. They still love to hear about you getting out of a fix and going, turning to Jesus and walking through it and coming out of it. I mean, who loves to hear a good story like that? We all do. A matter of fact, we'll pack out arenas to listen to somebody say, I lived this lifestyle, then I met Jesus, and hear how he brought me through. He healed my body, he healed my mind, he got me through child abuse and brought me out. Now I'm able to do things. And man, we're interested in those stories. But what really perplexes the world, and should perplex the world, and I'm sad to say it also perplexes most of the Christians in today's times, that we're praising God when we don't have the breakthrough. Or maybe we're in the process of it trying to happen and we're struggling with things, and yet we're still praising and glorifying and hollering the name of Jesus. The world's going, why? He hasn't done nothing. Oh, he has. Oh, has he ever. If he didn't do one more thing, what he did at Calvary's cross is enough for the rest of our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to that, amen? So again, it's when we praise God, not based on what our breakthroughs are or are not in that season, he's worthy. You may be in here today and you've had a horrible week. Can I tell you God's still worthy of your praise? And not half your praise, but all your praise? Because there's a Hebrew word for praise that means I give you a praise before I see the miracle. Amen? And I think we need to remember that as a body. I think we need to remember that no matter where we're at in the process of our miracles, our breakthroughs, our signs, and our wonders coming into our lives, that I've always lived by these three sayings: we don't give up, we don't give out, and we don't give in. We can't afford to. And I forgot to put it up. I meant to put it in my notes, but I've got a little picture meme, kind of a cartoon, and it shows these people digging and digging and digging, trying to get out. Looks like maybe a prison. I don't know. But it shows two people digging, and one person gets right up to about this much dirt left, and then it's the tunnel of escape, and he stops right there. He's done all he could do, he thinks, and then he just gives up and sets down. And the other one dug through. So many of us are right on the cusp of our breakthrough. But you got to make it happen. It's there. God is never not there. He's there. His signs, wonders, and miracles are there. And we often get, well, why is it not happening to me? It's because we build walls up. Everybody say walls. Sometimes we build them. Oftentimes other people, we allow them to be built. Not the matter of fact that we wanted that wall there ourselves and by our own actions, but by the actions of other people. Now listen to me now, we allowed the wall to be built. You understand the difference? It's still a wall that is yours. And you can tear it down anytime you get ready. Come on, listen to me now. You can tear that wall down anytime you get ready. Whether it's one you did by your own actions or the actions of others allowed the wall to be built. Somebody say, my responsibility. Amen? So, I want to go in here in just a moment into the book of Joshua chapter 5 and 6. Very familiar story from Bible schools and Sunday schools and children's church era. It's about the walls of Jericho. Now, what you got to understand is something about Joshua here. Joshua's just been put in charge of Israel. Moses, because he disobeyed God's direct command and he started striking the rock, he wasn't allowed to take them into the promised land. He got to see it, but he didn't get to go in there because of his disobedience. And you think, wow, that's harsh, man. Moses really obeyed God and had faith. Yeah, you can, but the moment you stop doing that, God don't owe you anything else. So you can't live off yesterday's obedience. You cannot live off yesterday's obedience. So Joshua was put in charge. Moses died. Joshua's in charge. They've crossed over the Jordan. You know that. They're now told to take the promised land. And Jericho is the first fortified city they're going to have to deal with. And here's Joshua. Now, Joshua has been prepared for this 40-something years serving Moses. And he's used to getting the word of God through Moses. Now he's got to get the word of God. Another story. It's okay to share under somebody's anointing, but there come a time when you got to step out and you got to get your own anointing. Yes, somebody can hear God for you and give you a word and you can come set under preaching, but I want to equip you to hear the word of God for yourself. Amen? And so here Joshua is in his first big role. He's sitting out there. Now, you got to understand something. The nation's not with him in this scene we're about to read out of the Bible. He is at least within viewing distance of Jericho by himself. And I'm sure he's going, this is a fortified city, one of the best ones around. And it's the first one coming in, because if you can get through Jericho, you usually can take the rest of the land. So Jericho was one major military fortified place. Okay? And he's out there, and he's probably seeking the Lord. Okay? God help. I don't have my mentor. He's dead. This is my first assignment, and it's the biggest one in the land. And it's the most fortified one in the land. Okay? So that's kind of the scene where Joshua's at here. So I want to go real quickly into chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. We're going to finish that out, then we're going to go straight into chapter 6. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he was, not the army, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, everybody say amen. Now, I got to put you through this, because you're going to have to stay with me right here. The word, look at the word man. Everybody see that on the screen, man? Is it lowercase or uppercase? It's capitalized. Every time, now this is the New King James Version. There's other versions. Some do, some don't. That's one of the reasons I like this translation. Anytime it's representing the deity of God, Father, Son, or Holy Ghost, it always gives it glory by capitalizing it. So this is a pre-incarnation of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus coming to him in the Old Testament. Not in a human form, but as a spiritual being, the Son of God. I'll keep on proving it to you here in just a moment. So Joshua beholds a man, capital M, stood opposite of him, and here's this being, capital H, his, you seeing this? This being, his sword was drawn, and his, that being's hand, talking about Jesus, and Joshua went to him. You seeing the capitalization? Are you getting this now? Pre-incarnate Jesus. And Joshua went to him and said to pre-incarnate Jesus, how do you know it's Jesus? And I'll prove it to you in a minute. Not an angel. I'll prove it to you in a minute. And he said to him, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Amen? I mean, you're standing there seeing this being with a sword. Either you're for me or against me. Come on now. All right. Go ahead to the next verse. So he said, he there is the pre-incarnate Jesus. So Jesus says to him, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And a lot of people say, well, that's Michael. He's over the army. This is the commander, though. Amen. It's not a sergeant. This is the supreme ruler of the army of the host of heaven. Okay? Stay with me. No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Now watch this. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and what? And worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Now I want to stop there for a moment. The reason we know this is the pre-incarnate of Jesus is because angels would never receive worship. If you go into Revelation 22 and they bow down and begin to worship the angel says, I'm just like you, I'm a servant. We only worship God. So this being would not be allowed to receive worship unless it was Jesus. Glad y'all are here. Amen? Go on to the next verse. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, now watch this, take off your sandals, off your feet, for the place you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Very ironic that he told Moses the same thing when Moses was at the burning bush. Take off your shoes, you're standing in the presence of holiness, pure holiness. Amen? Now this goes twofold for us here. Not only are we to do that just because of Jesus, but I think one of the reasons he appeared to him like that and told him, look here, worship me, but look at me, get your eyes off of Jericho. That's going to be there, but right now I need you to see Jesus. I need you to hear the word I'm going to impart to you. And so many of us, so many times, we are so preoccupied with our problems. Amen? That's all we think about. We're consumed with our failure or our problems or this person or that person and or the breakthrough that we need to have or we feel we need to have. And that sometimes can hinder you. That's the very thing that's hindering you from getting it. As you've made that your God instead of seeking the Lord himself. And Joshua was, when at least viewing distance, and I'm sure he's viewing, I'm sure all these thoughts, oh, they're big, they're, now I know they've seen that, and we hear that they're scared, but they're inside their fortified city, and nobody has ever defeated them in there. And here we are, we're not that well equipped, we're pretty equipped, you know, but, and he's viewing his problem from a distance, and God shows up and says, look at me. I want to challenge you with that today. I know there's a host of problems in here because we're alive on planet Earth. I want you to look and for a minute and just start focusing at least some part of your day just in the presence of Jesus. And be quiet where he can speak. Amen? Everybody say, be quiet where he can speak. Amen? So what I'll, just in a nutshell, stop letting your problem be your identity. Stop making it bigger than it is because it's not really that big. I spoke with a young lady, really for one of the first times. I've seen her a lot at the little place I go and exercise, or I go in there and threaten that stuff a lot. And I'd seen her in there, and she's a young mother, and first time I ever really got to speak to her, she was talking about whether or not she needed to call her papa to come get her or just to walk home. And I said, I'd really rather you not walk out there as a young lady by yourself walking home in Hartsville, even in Hartsville, okay? I said, plus, trust me, your papa would be honored, okay? And she said, I've only got 3 more weeks and I get my license back. And of course, my first thought was, well, she's got out here and got her a DUI. I mean, honestly. And then she followed up. She said, yeah, it's been, I think I have to be like 8 or 9 weeks from my last epileptic seizure. And I said, oh, okay. Yeah. She said, you know, and she said, just for a moment there during that, she said, because I've dealt with it a little bit, but I hadn't dealt with it in many years in my life. And she said, and I got to the point where after this last one, it was so bad and so severe, and I hadn't had one in a long time. She said, I'll be honest with you, I got a little mad at God. But she said, because it was so severe in the hospital and the doctor that saw me, now they've got me set up at Kirkland Clinic to go maybe through a new process that'll get rid of it forever. So she said, there's always a blessing of the Lord involved if you just pay attention. And I thought, lesson learned. You know, instead of saying, oh, woe is me, you know, and staying in that, why me, God, there was a process to what God's going to bring her through. Whew. Good stuff. I can tell you the rest of the story later, but I'm going to move on because I promised you I'd try to get you out of here at a decent time because you were so graceful during the marriage, just going to overtime almost every week, I think. So we're going to do our best today. But don't let your problem become your identity. Far too many people have that going on in their life. If you see them, that's all they're talking about. They spend 15, 20, 30 minutes to an hour talking about their problem, and then they say, but I hope God can do something. We just declared he's able. You just shouted, he's able. Amen. He's able. But what God wants to do pretty much in all miracles that he performs in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and us living today, he wants to and does invite you into that miracle. And when I say invite you into that miracle, it's not for him to do everything. He will provide the miracle, but he wants you to walk through the process to get it. Why? Because there's growth in that. There's understanding, there's wisdom and knowledge when you walk through a process to get your healing, to get your miracle, to get your breakthrough, to get your marriage back. And when you look back, you see how it worked. You don't see it right here. You see the frustration, the anger, the disappointment. But you talk to people who's went through things and got their miracle, no matter how big, they always look back and say, yeah, this is what I learned through that. And then they're better equipped not to fall back into that trip again. They see the signs of that maybe trying to creep back in their life, and they know now how to defeat it in the name of Jesus. So he'll always invite you into your miracle. And that's the problem. We don't want to do nothing. We want to say, God, here's my list. Poof, make it happen. God is spelled G-O-D, not G-N-E. You don't rub a little bottle and he poofs out and says you got three wishes and you don't have to do nothing, I'll just fulfill them. No, he will provide your miracle, but he invites you into it to do your part. And that, again, that's why most of us don't see our breakthroughs. Because we just want God to poof and do it without us having to break anything. Let's go on down real quickly. Joshua flows right on into chapter 6 now, verses 1 through 5. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. In other words, they're in lockdown, martial law there, and they are ready to fight for their city. And the Lord said to Joshua, look at this now. The Lord said to Joshua, see with your eyes, you're looking at the city. This is all happening in the same context here. They're outside the walls. See, I, Jesus, the Lord, have given Jericho into your hand, its kings and the mighty men of valor in there. This is before the walls ever came down. This is before he even spoke to his army. This miracle was completed right here on the Lord's side. The Lord gave a word. And when the Lord gives a word, it's going to happen. The miracle's done. As far as Jesus is concerned, the miracle is finished in his side. But he tells Joshua now, he says, I'm fixing to invite you into this miracle. And I'm going to give you instructions on the process of how to get there where you can enjoy the miracle I've already put in your hands. Listen to me. Your healing's there. Your deliverance is already in your hands. Come on. Your financial breakthrough, it's right there. But there's a process to where you can now possess it and pull it in and make it yours. That means you got to do some work. Right. Oh, no. I don't want to work. Well, then stay outside the boundaries of your miracles. This is why the Word of God don't work for a lot of people. Well, are you saying it's my fault sometimes? Yep, that's exactly what I'm saying. Did y'all understand the words coming out of my mouth there? Sometimes it's absolutely our fault when our miracles don't show up. Because we're not willing to work for it. We're not willing to go through the process to make it happen. We've got a word of the God. Do you know the Bible says you're healed? How many sick in here today taking a handful of pills? Got to go to this treatment, got to go to that treatment. Yep, there it goes again. Right off the stage and onto the floor. How many got kids that maybe ain't serving the Lord right now? You give up on them or have you got a promise? Got a promise. Stay with it. How many would like to have more finances? Okay, some of y'all are loaded apparently. Do you know the Lord will give you a strategy? But you know what you'll have to do to get it? Work. Yeah, work and give. I've given Jericho into your hand. The walls are as good as down. Right then, they're still up, but they're as good as down in the Lord's eyes. And then the Lord invites Joshua into the process of the miracle to see it come to pass. And here's what he says. Verse 3. Now, you got to understand, we know this story, but can you imagine getting this report of the Lord? I want you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. What? Then he goes on. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Okay, let's write that down. But the seventh day, I know we'll go march the seventh. No, the seventh day, you shall march around the city 7 times. We're going to be too tired to fight. You're going to march around it 7 times, and then the priests shall blow the trumpets. And the next verse says, it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall
shout.
Hallelujah. Well, not hallelujah, but I don't know what they shouted, but anyway, they shouted. They shall shout with a great shout, not just a little shout. Not just a little, you know, I'm excited. Yay. Look here, I fully believe that they'd all marched around and heard that long blast and they'd have all went, well, we're tired, this don't make no sense. Yay. I believe the archers would have popped up on the wall and probably killed them all. You better do exactly the way God tells you to do something. If he says, get up in here and do a chicken dance across the front of the stage, you better jump up here and do a chicken dance. If he tells you that, but don't do it if you want to do it. That's right, we got security to take you out. Then we'll have chicken for dinner. But anyway, I love y'all. Shout with a great shout. Then, after all of this, then and only then, watch this now, the walls of the city will fall down what?
Flat.
See, most people leave that out. Flat. Flat. And the people shall go up every man straight before him. Everybody say flat.
Flat.
Now again, the walls did not just crumble down. If the walls would have just crumbled and stacked and all this, it would have still been a pretty good sized wall for them to have to walk over the rubble and get in there. If you study this out, and archaeology has proved this around the dig site, the walls of the city basically sucked down into the ground. Yeah, makes it even a little more supernatural. And they just walked right on in, no rubble. Study it out if you don't believe me. But pay attention, everybody say the process. He had given the word, and when God gives the word, it is good as done, and it was done in God's eyes. But he brings a process to Joshua. Now Joshua gets the word. Now he's got to go back and convince an army to walk and do nothing for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, do probably a little over a 7-mile rucksack walk around it, and then scream. Now, I don't know if you know generals and armies and sergeants of the different divisions. They're probably looking at him and going, that's not a strategy that'll work. We're your military advisor. We advise against this because as we're walking around, they can pick us off. Doesn't make sense. And sometimes your miracle to get you there will not make sense. God says, forgive them. That doesn't make sense. They abused, they accosted me, they treated me, they lied. And you want me to forgive them? If you want your miracle and get set free, yeah, you forgive them. Doesn't make what they done right, it makes you right with God. They will stand before a just God. But again, you make that your identity, you make that your life. And every word out of your mouth, every post on your social media has to be about how bad your past was. Come on. Do you know how you can tell when somebody's over something and they're truly walking in the forgiveness of God? They quit talking about it because it's not their identity anymore. They're talking about the glory of God going forward and what God's doing in their life now and forward. But you don't hear that kind of talk because too many of us are living in our past and can't let it go. Well, now watch the process. I find it ironic that God created the day, the earth, in 6 days, and then he had a Sabbath rest where he sat down and he looked at the land and said, it's good. And I don't have time to break it all the way down and show you this, but I'll show you this is a 6-step process, and then the land was good. Back through those scriptures, but not going to put them up. Here's the process. Number one, he said, march one time around for 6 days. Everybody say that's one. That's the first step. That's the first day. Second, now you got to get 7 priests that have 7 trumpets. That's the second thing he had to do in the process. Number 3, you got to get the ark out. The ark's got to be a part of this. And get the priests march in front of the ark. That was in the Bible. That's step number 3 he had to do. Then step number 4, on the 7th day, I want you to march 7 times around. Everybody say that's number 4. Number 5, at the completion of that 7th lap, the trumpets have to sound out of the priest's mouth. Come on. And that goes back into Numbers chapter 22, 10, I don't know, it's in Numbers, about blowing that as an honor to God, and God hears it. Right. And then God comes down and fulfills the promise. And what they're doing a memorial back unto that in Numbers. Right. Okay, you with me? So where do we get to? That was five, the priests blow the horns. Now number six is, then they got to sound a long blast, amen, for everyone to shout. Six steps in that process. And when all of that gets fulfilled and done, all those six steps, and Joshua's responsible for lining all this up, and then other people have to do their part too. Sometimes your miracle is dependent upon your actions that bring someone else's actions in with you to allow your miracle to come. Or you may have to go to someone and say, hey, I need to apologize to you. You may have to go back and make something right that you've done wrong for that to be part of your process. Hence, we don't get healed, we don't get delivered, we don't get set free so often. So he had to do all this, and then after they shouted, the seventh thing is they got to go in and possess the land, and it was good. But they had to go in and still take it. Seven steps to taking down a city that no one had ever taken down before. And the first step, and these steps brought the miracle of God to lower those walls and for them to walk in and possess the land, which they had been promised 40 years ago. Can somebody say, it's time for my miracle? It's time for your miracle this morning, amen? Now, this is just the instructions. You read on down, and it shows they done it, and it worked. We all know it worked because we've got the story. In case you don't, go in there and finish reading chapter 6. It'll tell you. But there was one more thing Joshua had to do. One more instructions he had to give to everyone involved. And we really didn't hear the Lord tell him to do it. Either he used his godly discernment and wisdom, or he heard of the Lord again. I don't know which one it was. But I know it was of God, because only God could tell him to do this, and it worked. Are you with me? And that's found in verse 10. This is before they went out. Go ahead and put up verse 10. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, now it's again, Joshua had commanded them here, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shout. And if you read certain theologians' assessment of this, several of them said it wasn't just while they were marching. It was for the whole 7 days no one spoke in the camp. No one spoke outside the camp. No one spoke on the way to march. No one spoke on the way back to march. No one spoke in the privacy of their homes. They were silent. That's a miracle. Yes. Now, I don't know that. I can't preach that. It's not in the Bible. But again, studying the theologians, and I don't know how they knew. But now, again, even if it's just while they were marching and they didn't say nothing, that's still a miracle. Okay? But either way it was, it's still a miracle. And it was the wisdom of Joshua, I'm sure through the Holy Spirit, or maybe it had been encountered and just didn't get recorded, the Lord told him to this. But no matter, he had the wisdom to tell them this and command it. What was that about? It's so that their own mouth would not cancel out their assignment. Because can you imagine if just one person get all the armor, got to carry the ark, got to walk and not even fight today, and can't say nothing. How stupid is this? Whining, griping, and complaining. And then that would have caught, well, I tell you what, I mean, we got a pretty good sized army. I'm not going out there today. They won't miss me. I march in the middle, and I've got to get on Facebook and see how many likes I got. Can you imagine if one person would have had a descending word, it would have ran like wildfire? Because again, this strategy makes no sense. Makes no sense. But thank God. Everybody say, thank God. They had sense enough to stay faithful even when it didn't make sense. Come on up. Do you have sense enough to stay faithful right now when something's not making sense? God wants to invite you into your breakthrough this morning. But something has to break. And for them not to talk, you know some things is breaking off. Their pride, their opinion, their frustration, they wasn't able to voice. I believe it's the very thing that brought the breakthrough. I'll be honest with you. Because whether or not they looked like unity and they sounded like unity together. And how many of you know silence is threatening sometimes to your enemy? Guys, it's when your wife ain't talking to you some, but she throws you that look. At least when they hollering and fussing at you, you kind of know where you at. But you don't know if you need to eat supper that night. You don't know if you need to go to sleep in your bed that night. You don't know what they're plotting. Amen? And in fight scenes, it's sometimes the person with the biggest mouth and the person sitting real silent, sometimes that silent person gets up and handles everything. Doesn't have to say nothing. They just sit quietly till finally something breaks in them, but they don't have to shout. They just handle their business. No fanfare. But again, can you imagine how many miracles? Go ahead and stand to your feet. How many miracles around us or through us or people we know, they're not happening because of our negative, complaining, disbelieving mouth. But saying our God's able. He's able if you will hush and just be obedient. Now you don't have to hush unless you got a negative mouth. If you've got a positive mouth, begin to speak those walls down. Thank you, Lord. I thank you those walls are down. I thank you my healing has already been procured in the heavenly realm. Lord, give me the strategy to bring it forth in my body now. I thank you I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. But what if you don't feel healed and you can tell you're not? You cannot go by your feelings. When I'm sick, I praise God I'm healed. Even when I don't feel healed, I still declare I'm healed because I believe the word more than my physical circumstances. And I know you think I'm crazy, but I think you're crazy. I think it's crazy to believe the doctors more than you do the word of God. And the doctors can be right about some stuff, but they don't have the final say-so. They don't have the, they're not God. And again, I honor doctors, and I think they're good for a cold, maybe. I don't know what they're good for, but I mean, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying my God's plan's better. Now, I may have to go with their plan for a while to get there, but let me tell you something. There ain't no medicine. There ain't no food going to go in your body, and it work unless God allows it to. Now, some of you may not even know this medicine. How many of you absolutely have a reaction to and cannot take penicillin? Now, you'll notice a lot of older people here. That's an old antibiotic. Very powerful back in the day. Some people can take it. I can take it, no problem. Other people take it, it'll either put them in the hospital or kill them. Why? We're uniquely and individually made for God's presence. Amen? One healthy meal does not make you healthy. I know that stinks, don't it, y'all? I'm getting on a pretty strict diet myself right now. I'm starting to eat donuts without sprinkles. Y'all pray for me. You too, man. You're on the sprinkle diet, okay? Yeah, it's tough. Y'all pray for me. But how many know if I don't eat a donut all week or just but I usually eat one. That ain't gonna make me healthy overnight. And do you know if I eat Brussels sprouts for one meal a week, that ain't gonna make me healthy. It's what I do consistently that's gonna establish how my body reacts. Well, by the same token, it's what you do consistently with your faith in the Lord that brings on the greater miracles in your life. The more consistency you have in prayer and fasting and believing and declaring and prophesying your future off the Word of God, the more you'll begin to see happen. Why? Because you're consistent in it. It's not one prayer of big faith. Oh, I need this now. And then you're not willing to go through the process to make it happen, and then you give up on it. Because God didn't react in the time that you thought He needed to react in. If it wasn't for microwave faith, the church would probably have no faith at all in today's time. And microwave faith means I want it now, God. And if you don't give it to me now, God, I got a right not to go back to church. I got a right to turn my back on you and talk bad and doubt and fear and all this stuff and walk away from you. This was a solid 7 days they had to do stuff. It may take you 7 days. It may take you 7 months. It may take you 7 years. It may take you 70 years. It may take you 7 seconds now. I don't know. But I know the process is worth it. Because the end results is the faithfulness of God is always the breakthrough of God. The walls went down. They got what God said they already had before the wall ever fell. So I just want you to bow your head this morning. No matter where you're at, the first wall that needs to come down is the wall where you have not accepted Christ as your Savior. Whatever wall you've built up, you just don't believe, or you just hadn't really thought, you just don't pay that much attention to it. But there's a wall between you and God did not put that wall there. But if you will call on the Lord and say, Father, forgive me of my sins. I surrender my whole life to you, and I'm going to live as your child from now on. That wall of being lost and going to hell will come down, and a path all the way to heaven becomes available to you. Not just when you die, but while you're here on earth, heaven on earth. It ain't going to be easy all the time, but it'll start a pattern in your life to where you know who you are in Christ, and you have the whole promises of God to stand and either continue to believe for your miracle. And then there's a whole other section where you actually maybe are somebody else's miracle and waiting for them. You get to participate in other people's miracles so often when you make yourself available to God. But right now, if you've never turned your heart over to Jesus Christ, you will not join church today, and we don't offer you religion today. We offer you a king and his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And we offer you the only one that ever died for you to live. And if that's you today with no strings attached, no joining church today, no getting a religion today, just surrendering your whole life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If that's you today, just lift your hand and say, today's my day. I'm not going to wait a second longer. Anyone? Right here?
Yeah.
Right here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Wow. That's amazing. Do it again, Lord. All right. Thank you, Father. Thank you for ears that hear all over this place. But I thank you for the ears that heard the call to come into their salvation. So we're going to pray this morning together as a family. Father, it's me. You're real. And today I come to you. I'm a sinner. And I cannot save myself. But I know you can, because you're able. So I ask you to take down my walls and come into my life. I surrender my whole life to you right now. Take my sin away. Put your hand of anointing on me and make me your child today. I freely surrender myself to you to live the rest of my life growing as a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Today, I am a born again believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the way, He is the truth, and He's now my life for His glory. Thank you for saving me today, Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name I give you glory. I give you glory. I give you glory, 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 glory. In Jesus' name. Today, I am free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we give Him praise this morning? Now, I know after a message like this, hopefully it's at least got your wheels turning. And I know messages like this get the devil turning in your mind too. It's not going to happen for you. You've done this in the past and God's still mad at you about that. When you take and you ask for forgiveness and he does it, it's done. That's the miracle of the forgiveness of God. He is done with it. And you have no right to let it keep coming up in your life and hindering your miracles here. That is Satan and his demons. Okay? You are worthy of the miracles of the Word of God. Yes. Touch your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. You're worthy of the miracles of God this morning. Amen? Amen. So don't let the devil talk you out of it.
That's right.
Amen? And if you're not sure about what to do with your life in certain areas, get with someone who's got wisdom in the Holy Spirit. And there's going to be a whole bunch of people up here this morning that love you and have got wisdom in the power of the Holy Spirit. They would love to pray with you maybe about it. And you don't have to tell everything. Just say, you may walk down here and just say, man, I need a miracle. Well, what is it? Can we pray? They may ask you, well, what specifically? Hey, God knows, and I just want you to come into agreement with me that God knows. They ain't going to pry into you. Amen? If you want them to know, you tell them. If you don't, just tell them it's God knows. And it'll help them if they do know, but they don't have to. We can stand in and intercede for anything. But if I knew I needed that miracle, I wouldn't get up out of here today without getting prayed for. That's the problem with church. God's here. His people's here. The anointing of God's here. You got a problem, but you walk right out the door with your problems. Because the number one wall that keeps you from doing that is the wall of pride. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we curse the spirit of pride in this place, God. For those that'd rather keep their pride and their problems and their falls and their failures more than the love of God, Lord, I just pray for them. I ask you to bless those who break down those walls and come and say, pray with me over this. My life is worth having people pray with me. My kids are worth having people pray over them. My marriage is worth having someone bless us and pray with us and come into agreement for our miracle. My family's worth it. My church is worth it. My God is worth it. So, spirit of pride, be gone out of these. And let revival break loose today. Let breakthrough happen in this altar all across it for your glory right now. Everybody say in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on, give him praise.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.